Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. Alcoholic. Not that that matters. Part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. How are you doing today? Sorry. It is Tuesday, December 15th, 10 days till Christmas. Are you ready? Are you ready to be over Christmas? I don't know. I'm pretty good. Not that this will matter, but I posted, I did a podcast yesterday and I didn't get a chance to post it. So I just posted that this morning. Then I'll post this one. Two in one day, posted. Good or bad, I don't know. It's a good release for me. Good chat. I talked in the podcast that I just posted this morning, which I did yesterday, about resentments and resenting things, and you know, it's weird. I was thinking about this. You know, it seems like, you know, if I say out loud I resent something, I'm pretty confident that I have a pretty good case for resenting it. But when I keep it to myself and it becomes a hidden, justified resentment back in the back of my mind, it's usually what I'm figuring out is there's not a lot of evidence in my argument. You know, it's, and what the worst part about that is when a big blow up happens about these justified resentments or these, this shit, this baggage that I carry around, when the fight eventually erupts, because it usually does, I don't have a lot of arguable points. You know, it's the one where you start arguing and then as it comes out of your mouth, you realize, yeah, I might still be in the wrong here. But if I am clear that this, if there's enough evidence to show my case, I will, or somebody else, or people do, or have in the past, would say, I resent that. You know? I'm just guessing here. I'm just thinking. You know, I got in a big, big blow up with my wife yesterday. And it's on exactly the same shit. You know, little things that she does that I'm like, no big deal. Little things that I do, and she's like, no big deal. It's like, it's easier to just say, okay, no big deal, than to bring it up. Because it's little, they're not big heated topics, but they're like little heated ones. And, you know, instead of saying, listen, this is bothering me, I think we should have a conversation. Let's discuss it. I say, yeah, no problem. Inside, though, it's a big deal. It's an issue. And I don't know if it's because maybe it's just me not getting what I want. And maybe it's not. You know, one of the big things that happens for me is I feel like I'm doing everything. Does anybody out there feel that way? Like, I'm doing everything. And then I start feeling like I've been doing everything and you're not doing anything, and then it becomes a big thing. Taking the kids, picking up the kids, cooking dinner, going to work, whatever it is. And all I do is pay attention to what I do and then times it by two. And I don't pay attention to what my wife does. And the things I do recognize, I forget. Start creating my own picture, right? And then I have a blow up. And these are mostly topics of things that I really don't have a great argument. I don't have, you know, like if I feel like I'm picking up the kids, well, usually my wife is taking them. Or it's usually because my wife is working, or, you know, it's not because my wife wants to go to a Longaberger party. I start feeling like I'm doing everything. In fact, I have a shirt. At some point, it may feel like you're doing everything. I mean, the self side of me is like, I can't believe I have to do all this. But the humble side of me is like, what a gift, right? What a blessing to be able to provide transportation for my little angels. Take them, spend this wonderful time with them. And you know what the most aggravating part of it is for me? It isn't even that. You know what really, for some reason, gets under my skin the most? Is feeling like I'm putting a lot of miles on my lease vehicle. It's fucking stupid. I start thinking, I'm going to go over all my miles. It's embarrassing. I've never, and the funny part is all the times I've leased a car, I've gone over a little bit before, but not much. And when I did, it wasn't even something I had to pay for because, you know, they usually want to get you into another vehicle so quickly that they're like, yeah, we're not even going to worry about the miles. It never ends up being an issue. But I sometimes shape my emotions and my lifestyle and my day because I'm afraid I'm going to go over on my lease miles. Is there anything out there like that for you? Maybe not lease miles, maybe it's calories, maybe it's money. I don't know what it is, but these weird little things that shape my day that in the end don't even really play a big role in my life. It's crazy. So we had a big old fight. Big old fight. And I could tell that I've been holding a lot of shit in because I was quite pissed. And, you know, I told my wife this morning, I said, we need to start working on ourselves together. You know, we need to sit down and read and just kind of, you know, my wife's sober, but, you know, my wife, you know, she basically just quit drinking, and which is fine. It works, I guess, but, you know, it's that stinking thinking shows up. And, you know, there's been times in my life where I've been forced to get sober. I've been forced to quit doing whatever god awful thing I was doing, right? And when I'm forced to do something, I'm not always accepting to the idea of working on. This falls back into that file, right? I only change until the pain stops. And usually me quitting something is stopping the pain to usually my parents or loved ones, right? And when this pain stops, I'm like, okay, we're good. I don't need to do any more work. But that's not the case. I mean, it might be the case in some situations, but, you know, for a marriage, I mean, our marriage is already challenging enough because we're, you know, human, right? There's no free ride. It's a tough freaking, the marriage game is tough. And if I can't communicate and I'm holding stuff back and she can't communicate about it and she's holding stuff back and we have these moments like we had yesterday, you know, my wife said, are you going to divorce me? I said, hell no. I love you. I love you. But there's things that are said and done and then we should kind of give in and give out. And the thing that pissed me off the most yesterday, and I told her this morning, so if she hears this, she... My wife, you know, my wife came from New York, and she's, you know, New York thinking, you know. Like, there must be a lot of crime in New York. Where I'm like, I live in, you know, Delaware. But she said to me, can you close that window in the living room because I'm afraid that somebody could, you know, sneak in that window and steal one of our children. And I'm like, you know, babe, no one's going to steal. And no one's walking. There's no gangs or, you know, hordes of people walking the streets stealing children. I mean, it could happen. I said, so now we can't have windows on the first floor when we only have a one-floor room house. So we can't have any windows on the first floor open now because of people stealing children through them? But I shut the window. And all day I was like, ugh, that is annoying. I should have stopped and said, listen, I think this is crazy and we should talk about it. But I didn't. I shut the window and I stuck it in my back pocket to make me, well, to drive me crazy, I guess. That is the that's the main thing that I'm guilty of, is putting that shit in a pocket and like pretending it didn't matter or doesn't bother me, and then having it pop up out of nowhere. And I know what happened. You know, the weekend, sat at home all weekend, didn't really do much, watched a lot of TV, sat around, and just felt really kind of crummy that we didn't do much. And it was fine, but I don't know. Maybe that was it. But Monday, I started off the day with a chip on my shoulder. And, yeah. And I'm not apologizing for it. You know, I did say that I was sorry that we got in an argument. But, you know, these issues are actually, they're real. And the main one is that, and she said this to me the other day, we need to really discuss things and be honest with one another. It's tough, right? I mean, I don't have a problem with being honest, but I have a problem with being honest that I'm not annoyed. I don't always identify the source of the annoyance. And if it's justified to say it out loud. Because a lot of the times, like I just said, I'll do a lot of stuff and I'm not paying attention to what everybody else is doing. So I start feeling like I'm the only one doing anything. My wife does a lot. Whatever, we're going to work on it. This too shall pass, or we shall continue this later. We'll see what happens, but, you know, she's my partner, and we're going to get through this, and we'll be stronger for it in the end. Let's do a reading, or let me do a reading, see what it says. I want to get a Tesla solar roof. Is that inappropriate? Here we go. Daily reflections. Yeah, they're expensive. Oh my God. Anybody out there have a Tesla solar roof? Tell me about it. Give me the breakdown. Ooh, December 15th. Doing anything to help. All right, December 15th, doing anything to help. Offer him, the alcoholic, friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. I like that. I remember how attracted I was to the two men from AA who 12-stepped me. They said I could have what they had, with no conditions attached. That all I needed to do was make my own decision to join them on the pathway to recovery. When I start convincing a newcomer to do things my way, I forget how helpful those two men were to me in their open-minded generosity. I don't know, is that when I start convincing, it's a great word right there, convincing a newcomer to do the things my way. Yeah, so I forget how helpful those two men were in their open-minded generosity. It's a great message. You know, there's something that happens. There's something that happens when you get sober because, you know, all of a sudden things feel great. You know, no, you're not in any trouble. No one's after you. You're kind of living a decent life. And we start to feel like we're special. But the reality is we're just normal. And normal takes a lot of work. But to avoid all the work, sometimes a person like myself might suggest to a newcomer all these great, you know, I may just throw up all these great ideas in one sitting, I guess trying to avoid them to have to go through all the things that I had to go through to get to this point. You know, I can't say, listen, you have to do this, you do this, you do this. It's kind of like, it's interesting that this is the reading because this is the kind of thing that I'm going through with my wife. You know, my wife doesn't drink. But there was like kind of a, I don't know, not an ultimatum, but there was a point in our marriage, like how is a person that drinks and how is a person that's sober going to move forward together? And it just worked out that she, I don't want to say there was an ultimatum, but I guess there was an ultimatum. And she chose to choose not drink. And she'll, you know, in February or January 1st, she'll celebrate 2 years of, you know, of being sober. But that, you know, that was it. And I have to be careful not to say, listen, you need to get a big book. Because we talked, like I said, I said, we need to start reading. I have to be careful that I don't, you know, I don't want to force her. And it says it right there. It says it right there. When I start convincing a newcomer to do things my way, I forget how helpful those two men were in their open-minded generosity. You know, you have to want, people have to want this. And they have to, you know, you have to be excited about a life that could be the life of you, that you want. And I know when I came into the program and I first got sober, I was really excited because I was hanging out with people that were living the life that I had always wanted. I don't even know if that's even fair to say. They were just living a life. They were living a life that was better than the shithole that I was living in at the time. I'd lowered my standards so far that just anything. I remember if I could just not drink and drive for the night, it'd be a good day. I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty bad when that's all you really hope for in a day is just not to drink and drive. Feel better. Then you want to shout it out and off the rooftops, right? It's like when my ex-father-in-law, we found out he had celiac and we all had to fucking be wheat-free. And if we weren't gluten-free, we were idiots. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I want to be an idiot. Asshole. You know, he forced us, you know, he shamed us into becoming wheat-free. Didn't last. You can't shame somebody into becoming sober. You can live a great life and be a great example and be an example that maybe somebody that's struggling may wish they could have, you know. You know, I talked about it the other day in a different podcast, how it seemed like I just was constantly in fear of the next fucking shoe falling, the next hammer dropping. What was it going to be next? a DUI, a car crash, inappropriate thing to say, getting thrown out, kicked out, fired. What was it going to be this time? You know, the role of the alcoholic dice. And just to be free from that was huge. It's enough to make me shout from the rooftops. You have to live it. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. Probably more importantly, to walk the walk. The talk part is where people get confused. You know, and AA doesn't particularly like us talking about AA. You know, when's my message is wrong? When's my message? Someone's like, I don't know. The way that guy talked about it, I'm not sure it's for me. I don't want to be a voice to deter people from getting sober. It's kind of, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who was, he's like, we should reach out to AA and talk to them about promoting, you know, because there's some other recovery podcasts. We should talk to AA about recovery podcasts. I'm like, AA is not talking to us about that. That's not part of the principles. It's bad enough that I even mention the damn thing. But you got, you know, I've said this before. If you want to get sober, get sober. If you don't. What the fuck do I care? Don't get sober. You want to grind and bang your head and do all that shit for a little longer? Go for it. Go for it. We'll be here, though, when you get ready. We're always ready. People say, if I ever drink, I'll never make it back. Shut the fuck up. Yes, you will. I remember the first drink that I had after getting sober, and the first thing I thought about was going to a meeting. The first thing. You know, I do a lot of running, and, you know, I kind of compare it kind of a little bit to, like, sobriety. You know, I'm running. And I'm not even running fast. I have completely enough energy. I could probably run miles at this pace. You know, no big deal. And my mind's like, you should stop. You are tired. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm good. You know, this is the whole thing in my head. I'm good. You're tired and you should stop. I'm fine. I think your knee hurts. And then I'm like, maybe I should stop. And then I stop. And right away, my brain's like, what the fuck? Stop. What'd you stop for, you dumbass? Keep going. And I kept going. And it's the same thing when I picked up the alcohol after 4 years or so. I thought I was sober. Thought I was doing all right. And then this voice showed up and was like, look how good you've done. You deserve it. I was like, yeah, I think you're right. And I was miserable. You know, there was a lot of decisions I made when I first got sober. You know, my first marriage. You know, I was insecure and was in a relationship that ended abruptly. And I grabbed onto the first person I could find and just basically took her hostage. Emotionally, not physically. And then 4 years later, I'm kind of living in with this marriage that I got into because I was too chicken shit to say, you know what, this is, I should have never done this. This is me being an insecure douchebag. But I'm living in that. I'm living with a woman I don't even really care for. I mean, you know, we developed a relationship, but it wasn't great. In a job that I decided to take just newly sober, my first year sober, I went to college. Got a degree in turf management because my boss, I wanted to impress. I mean, it had nothing to do with me wanting to really work. This was all self bullshit. So I picked a career just into sobriety. I picked a marriage just into sobriety. I moved to Easton, Maryland just into sobriety. I did all this shit because I was living. It felt so good. If you live in the shit long enough, when you finally come out to the regular air, you think it's from God. And that's kind of how I felt. So 4 years into it, I'm living in a marriage that I don't particularly care for, in a career that I fucking hate, in a town that was okay, but, you know, it wasn't my favorite. And that voice showed up. You should have a drink. And I did. And I did. But as soon as that goddamn lips, that alcohol hit my lips, all I could think about was a meeting. I need to get to a meeting. I made a big mistake. The problem is that I opened the door and I could not stop. So be prepared if you decide you're going to pick up, you can't stop again. The only way you can stop again is by, you know, grabbing your boss's wife's ass or, you know, something inappropriate, ego devastation, complete humiliation. Complete wreck of our lives happens over and over, and then the next thing you know, you become, you know, willing.